speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Our discussion today shall base itself in the 16th chapter of the book of Mark, verses 15 and 16, which you will recognize readily as the Great Commission given by Mark. And of course, the Lord's words are being recorded when he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned." You know, we talk about the wonderful words of life. We sing about those wonderful words. But do we really associate that with the gospel of Christ? Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." I wish we could emphasize that more than what we do. Many people are not looking for the gospel. They're looking for experiences, or they're looking for some kind of catastrophe in their lives. They're looking for some direct working of the Holy Spirit on them. But so far as the wonderful words of life revealed in the text of the New Testament, they seem to ignore these. And it's so strange to me that we could not hear what the Lord is saying when he says, "Here is the way of salvation. Go into all the world and preach it. Because only he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that refuses to do that will be condemned or lost." If that were hard to understand, it might be easier for us to understand. But it is not. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God." So, these wonderful words of life are the power of God. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "Seeing that in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom knew not God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." So the wonderful words of life are the words of the cross, they are the words of the gospel, and they are the only place that salvation can be found. In 2 Timothy 3, if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, we'll be reading verses 1 through 5. Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy. He wants the best for him. He wants him to understand and know what's right and what's wrong. He said, "But now know this, that in the last days," that is the Christian dispensation, "grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, dishonest, disobedient to parents, rather, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable," which means faithless, "slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof, from these turn away." Now these have a power that is not working. They have a form of godliness. It's just a form. It is an external form. Some people make a good show of religion, they just don't live it. They just don't really do what it says. So, we find here they hold a form of godliness, but they denied the power in their lives. They denied the power thereof, from these turn away. Now, the power that is spoken of here, of course, is the gospel. And as we read these things, we read the latter part of this chapter. "Timothy, you know of whom you've learned these things, and you keep them, and you do them. For all Scripture, inspired of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work." Here we understand the authority of heaven. Here we understand the authority of the creation of the world. God, through His Son, made all things. It didn't come by evolution. Here we understand the church, because this word declares it unto us that it is the saved, and the saved are the church. We also learn that salvation is not found every place, but salvation is only found in Christ. So, if that be true, then the home prepared for the faithful, those mansions on the other side, are only for those who obey the powerful gospel of Christ. How much power does it have in your life? Have you read it this past week? Have you put it to work in your life? Is it really a power for you? Or is it just something of an outward appearance? The power of God unto salvation is the Bible, the New Testament. And God's book gives God's power to save those that believe. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also unto the Greek, therein is revealed the righteousness of God. From faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the gospel is the means appointed by God to save all that believe and embrace it. Now, you can have an outward form of godliness, and it won't be worth a dime. If all you are is a Sunday morning Christian, one that just comes to look good, one who wants to make an appearance, but you don't really intend to live the life, my friends, you will not be saved. The power has to work. I know the crucifixion of Christ, as he said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, to many is foolishness, but it's not to us who are saved. It is the power of God. And so if that power is working, it's going to be what it ought to be. The preaching of the cross is here, he says, the power of God. So the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the cross, all of these things mean the same. And they are the power of God. Now, remember and realize today that the crucifixion itself has lost a lot of its real meaning. It has lost a lot of its horror and its ignominy. Because people glorify it today. They put a gold cross around their neck. They think it's an honorable thing, a glorious thing. It's not glorious and it's not honorable. The cross was a horrible thing. The cross was that which men sometimes don't understand today. It was contemptible. It was foolish. And the reason it was foolish was because it was a place for murderers and thieves to be killed. And so because of that, to preach the crucifixion of Christ, some thought was awfully foolish, and because they were lost, they didn't care to hear it. Well, when we understand that Jesus was one who had no home, he had few friends, he had no money, he had no honor, very little honor, many thought he was an imposter, and they said on the cross he couldn't save himself. How come he thinks he can save others? Well, indeed, he could not save himself and save us. Because he had to be our sacrifice for sin. He had to offer himself or else we would have no hope. It's through his blood that we're cleansed. And so here we understand that though some think he couldn't save himself, it wasn't because he couldn't. He could have called 10,000 angels and he could have overcome all that was on the cross. But he couldn't save us and redeem us except he endured the cross. He did that much for you. And for me. He loved us that much. And therefore we preach the cross of Christ without any reservations whatsoever. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, I know to some that sounds like a terrible thing to say. And it's foolishness in the eyes of some to preach the crucifixion of Christ. But listen, friend, it's the only hope of the world. And the worldly, of course, are blinded to the true beauty of the personal character of Christ. They're blinded to the true beauty of His sacrifice. And you know, the former rich man in Luke 16, he didn't think the gospel would do any good. He didn't think Moses and his prophets would do any good. So he said, I need somebody to go back from the dead and tell my five brothers not to come here. Well, a lot of people think today the gospel's not powerful. They think maybe somebody coming back from the dead might help some of their people to come and obey the Lord. Well, I don't think it would be a bit of help, really. If men won't hear the gospel, then they certainly wouldn't be convinced, as Abraham said, if one came back from the dead. Because they are convinced their loved ones haven't gone to hell, their loved ones have gone to heaven. And even though they might not have ever obeyed the gospel, named the name of Christ, even though they were not faithful to the cause of Christ, the gospel had no power in their lives, they still think they went to heaven. And they wouldn't believe one who came back from the dead to tell them otherwise. When we think about that, many who have been in other religions find Christianity and the way of the gospel to be too simple for them. They say, my, that is so simple. You reckon that could be the saving power of God? Do you suppose that faith, repentance, confession, and baptism could make one a Christian? Could convert him, turn him from his sins? Look at the worship, how simple it is. Not in flowing robes. Not in spooky music. No, it's very simple. It's very much that which is to be desired, but is it true that such simplicity is right? Well, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve in the craftiness, own craftiness, that your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity and the purity that are toward Christ." You know, our minds can be corrupted away from the simplicity and the purity that is in Christ. And if it is, we think the preaching of the cross too is foolishness, don't we? And it has no power in our lives. Now, the power for coming to the Lord is only one. It is the gospel. Oh, I hear people say, "Turn on Jesus. I'm going to turn on to Jesus." What does that mean? Like they're turning on with drugs? Is that what it means? Or they say, "Just so the heart is right, committed and feeling good. It doesn't matter whether you obey the gospel or not." Is that right? John 6:44-45 doesn't agree with that. Jesus said, "No man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last day. And it's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that heard and learned cometh unto me. For Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please him. But he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him." Where do you get this faith that is the power in your life? Well, Romans 10:17 says, "Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." There's the power, isn't it? There's the power. Is it a power in your life? Have you sanctified the Lord God in your hearts? And have you been ready now to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is within you, yet with meekness and fear? What's the power in your life? What pushes you along? Is it the gospel? A love of money? Have you got some other idol in your life? What is it? In the latter times, he said, men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, proud, arrogant, not led by the gospel. You know, coming to the Lord is an individual, personal action. It's because the gospel has convicted your heart. It's because you have heard the word of truth, as Paul called it. In John 8:32, he said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." In John 17:17, he said, "Now sanctify them," or set them apart, "by thy truth. Thy word is truth." And Paul said in Ephesians 1:13, "In whom," speaking of being in Christ, "ye," talking to the Gentiles, "ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth," the gospel of your salvation. "And in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Now they heard the gospel, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And they also believed it. In other words, they obeyed it. They accepted its terms, and they embraced it. Everybody has to do that if they want to be saved. And if it's any power at all in your life, you will. If it's not, you won't. But then they were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, or they were sealed with the Holy Spirit's promise, either way you want to put that. In other words, their salvation was guaranteed, because the Holy Spirit places His seal on those who do the will of the Father. And it is indeed a promise that is sure. You can't go wrong when the Holy Spirit makes a promise. And so it is that this is, he says, an earnest or a pledge, a small part of the bargain that is laid down because you accepted and obeyed the gospel. That's it. What's the power under salvation? Well, the Word furnishes us in everything, and it is the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. We noticed in 2 Timothy 3:16-17 that all Scripture inspired of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. 2 Peter 1:3 said, "Seeing that by His divine power He has granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue." What is lacking in the gospel that you might need? Nothing. What is lacking that you might desire to help you be convicted of sin? Nothing. What is lacking in the gospel to help you to be converted? Nothing. Then why aren't you obedient to it? Because I don't believe it. That's the only reason. It could be, isn't it? You know, indeed, nothing is lacking. He says here it's profitable. It's only profitable to the one who will accept it, though. It's only profitable if you put it into action in your life. It's the plenary, verbally inspired Word of God. It's God-breathed. And therefore, the Word furnishes in everything we need. Is the Holy Spirit's work a good work? He was the revealer of truth. Did He reveal it all or just a part of it? Jesus said He will guide you, the Holy Spirit will guide the apostles, into all truth. Did He do His work well? Well, we need people dedicated to reading and teaching the Word, don't we? Well, we need people dedicated to hearing it and obeying it, too. That's our mission, to go and preach the gospel. Isn't that what Jesus said? Go into all the world, preach the gospel. Nothing else will do. But this thoroughly furnishes. You know, to the elders of the Ephesus, Paul said, "Now take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock of which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood." When he got ready to leave, he said, "Now I commend you unto God and to the word of His grace," in Acts 20:32, "which is able to build you up." It's what? It's able. It's strong enough to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in Me. Well, in the gospel is His grace. Is the gospel any power in your life? It's also His law. It's His love. It is His promises. And if the gospel is not in your life, you don't have the grace of God, you don't have the law of God, you don't have the love of God, you don't have the promises of God. Now, is the gospel powerful or not? When Paul said, "I would not know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified," is the word of the cross of any meaning to you? Or is it as if He had never died? Later, Paul referred to the glorious gospel of Christ. He said, "If our gospel be hid," 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, "it is hid in them that perish, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's in the image of God, should dawn upon them." Well, a lot of people just don't let the gospel dawn upon them. Though it's true, though it's unchangeable, though it is correct, Hebrews 13:8-9, He said, "Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. Be not carried away by divers and strange doctrines." There are some doctrines in the world different from our Lord's. They're different from what He taught. In fact, all man-made churches have different doctrines. That's what makes them distinct. But Jesus Christ doesn't change, and His is the glorious gospel, who's in the image of God, that men, if they'll let it dawn on them, they can have the life eternal. So go into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because it's God's power. Because it's the word of truth. Because it's the Holy Spirit's deliverance of God's will. And it's why Christ died, to tell you the truth. Did you know that's the reason Christ died? So the gospel could be preached. That's what it says in Luke 24:46-47. Listen to it closely. "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, in order that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Now you look at that cross. You see the blood flowing from the head and the hands and the feet of our Lord. You see Him pushing up in order just to get a breath. And you think about Him hanging on that cross so that the gospel might be preached. You don't think the gospel's important? You think a man can be saved in any other way except by obeying the gospel? Friend, it just isn't true. But you don't need an experience. You don't need a direct operation of the Holy Spirit. You need the holy furnishing Word of God. You know, Paul didn't receive it of man, he said. He received it of God. In Galatians 1:11-12, he said, "Now I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me was not after man. For I neither was received it of man, nor was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, before his conversion, he thought he was right. He said, "I lived in all good conscience unto this day," Acts 23:1. In Acts 26:9, he said, "I thought I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, and I did. I persecuted men and women, put them in prison." What changed you, Paul? "Well, my moral judgment was wrong, and the gospel changed me." And you know what? It's fresh for every new generation. Never grows old. Never goes out of date. And Paul still says to Timothy and to us, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Paul's commission was, "Stand up, Saul, for to this end have I appeared unto thee, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things wherein I have appeared to thee and where I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith." Are your eyes open? There's only one power to do that, and that's the gospel. And if your eyes are closed, it's not the gospel's fault, it's your fault. Because you have not listened, because you have not desired the faith, because you have not obeyed what the Lord has said. For sure, the kind of gospel that Paul preached saved people, didn't he? He said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which ye received, and wherein you stand, and by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain." What's the power? The power is the gospel. Paul said it'll save. And he said it's made up of the three facts of the gospel: the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. So I understand that the commands of the gospel must be obeyed. Romans 6, 17 and 18, Paul said, "Thanks be unto God that whereas you were the servants of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, and being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." How many people are free from sin before they obey the gospel? Zero. How many people are made free from sin after they obey the gospel? All of them that obey the gospel are forgiven. They that gladly received His word, Acts 2:41, on Pentecost were baptized, and the Lord added them unto the church that day. You know, Paul said, "Preach it," and we must do that. He said, "I charge thee in the sight of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, you preach the word. Be constant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine. For they'll heap to themselves teachers as they have itching ears. They'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. You mean people would turn away their ears from the gospel? Absolutely. In fact, there are many who do so. And they still contend the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But it depends on whether you want to be saved or not. If you are desirous of that, the gospel is God's power to save. He died that it might be preached. And it makes me wonder, my friends, why do men hear and refuse to obey it? It's not that they don't hear it sometime, but they just don't accept it. Well, sometime they make pretended claims of many false teachers their God. Sometimes, instead of the gospel, they listen to those who say, "Well, now we have the powers of divine healing. We are able to heal." Could not heal a soul if they wanted to. But they fool people that way. They say, "Now we're divine healers. We can heal." They're fake healers, friend. They cannot heal anybody. But they cause many not to hear the gospel. Others say, "Well, I've had a new revelation. I know something more than what the gospel says." And they keep many from obeying the gospel because some say, "He might have had a new revelation. Something in addition to the Bible." Friend, he doesn't have it. And if that's stopping you from obeying the gospel, how sad a condition you're in. Then some say, "But listen, I heard him speak in tongues." You heard him speak in tongues? You heard him speak a language that is known to somebody in the world? Oh, no, it was a jibber-jabber that nobody understood, but it kept you from obeying the gospel, didn't it? You know, the devil has many crafty ways, and these are just some of them. So when people hear these things, they sometimes close their eyes to the truth. Just like Jesus said, "This people's hearts are waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest happily they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand again, I'll heal them then." But friend, unless you obey the gospel, you have no hope whatsoever. And others may say, "Well, I just don't love the truth." 2 Thessalonians 2 talks about those. They love not the truth and they perish. So, most won't come to the light. John 3:19 tells why. He said their works are evil. And the light manifests those evil works, and it shows for what they are. And therefore, they don't want that exposed, and they don't want to turn from their sins, and so they just continue in sin and deny the power of the gospel. Well, in John 5:39-40, he said, "Now you search the Scriptures, because in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that bear witness of me, but ye will not come to me that you may have life." The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, but it will only work if you allow it to rule your life, to guide and direct you. If it's no power to you, then it's no power for your salvation. If it is the power of God, and it is, and it is imbibed into your life and embraced by your teaching and thinking, then you can be saved. Leave it off, and you'll be lost. It's just that simple. But the gospel is God's only power. He's not going to exert any other power on your life. That's the only one He has. Reject it, and you have no other hope. But this morning you can accept it. You can hear it, believe it with all of your heart. You can repent of the sins of your life. Sin won't let you go to heaven. You have to repent of them if you're going. Make the good confession that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and my Savior. And we'll baptize you into Christ because the gospel worked in your life. If the gospel doesn't work in your life, nothing else is going to work. But the gospel is God's power to save. Why not be saved while you can? And if you've been a Christian but you've turned away from the right way of the Lord, today's a wonderful day to come home and start anew. Repent and pray God that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Again, the gospel's the power. Would you obey it today? While together we stand and while we sing, will you come?